fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
There are almost 500,000 young people aged 10 to 24 living in Western Australia, and meeting the health needs of this demographic is of vital importance. The recently launched WA Youth Health Policy 2018 to 2023 is WA's first overarching policy on youth health. It was developed by the Department of Health's Child and Youth Health Network in consultation with young people and many organisations and individuals from across WA, the health system and the community. So on Fitter Happier today, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Helen Wright, paediatrician and co-lead of the Child and Youth Health Network, and Emma Wignall, member of Telethon Kids Institute Youth Adversary Group. Welcome to you both to Fitter Happier on the MAG.
Thank you, Georgia.
So, Helen, let's start talking about the youth health policy. What's it all about?
So essentially it's about giving a voice to young people and their health needs and making sure that we have a document that will help drive improvements to young people's health and well-being. And the three ways of doing that are firstly to give young people the information that they need to optimise their health and well-being, that we make health services welcoming and friendly to them so that they can have improved access to them, and also so that our health system can be coordinated and evaluated in a way that helps us make those changes for young people.
So I feel like that's a pretty broad demographic for when we say young people 12 to 24. That must be pretty hard to kind of make something that's appropriate for all those ages.
Yeah, so I mean that's a really good question, and one that we've been asked quite a lot in this process, but we have actually been applauded for picking the broad age group from 10 to 24. There are a number of reasons for that. Firstly, it fits in with the World Health Organization recommendations, and it also aligns with the data that we collect about those different age groups. And it fits with the profile of young people, so early adolescence being 10 to 14 and then mid-adolescence 15 to 19 and then early adulthood, so 20 to 24. So we specifically chose that age group for those reasons.
So what are some of the big issues or trends that have emerged whilst developing the policy?
So the main things that have come through were really beautifully articulated by the Youth Ministerial Advisory Council, who gave us a foreword to our policy. And they said that, you know, young people really want to know what their rights are, particularly around confidentiality, to make sure that they are partners in discussions about their health, that young people are listened to and respected, and if we get those things right, we should do well. And young people particularly want to be consulted in partnership with those that are working with them around their health.
So is this going to be like an ongoing thing throughout the course till 2023?
Yes.
So young people will be involved throughout that whole time?
Absolutely. I mean, we were very careful to involve young people at the very early steps of this project. And now the policy has been published, our next stage is to involve young people very much in making sure that this is implemented. And we also hope that although this is a policy for the health system, that actually it's mainly a policy for young people so that we can get them to use it, publicise it, ask questions of us to make sure that we are actually doing what is recommended by young people themselves.
Cool. So it's not only going to help young people, but let's also talk about how it's going to help doctors and nurses and just the overall health sector.
Yep. So first of all, a number of the health professionals that we spoke to early on were saying, well, what's the problem? Why do we need a youth health policy? And the policy itself comes with a companion document that talks about what the current health is of young people and why we need the policy. And then the young people have their say also tells us what young people have said is required of their health, for their health. And it then means that we can educate health professionals around how to talk to young people, what they require, and one of the key components will be an education programme for all staff that work with young people, you know, receptionists, clerks, nurses, allied health staff, doctors, etc.
And so, Emma, how were you involved with the policy? What motivated you to get into it?
Yeah, so I'm part of a youth reference group at Telethon Kids Institute, and basically someone from the Department of Health came out and was like, look, we want to make this policy. Do you guys want to be involved? So from there, some community conversation opportunities were developed, so I went along to that. They were also advertised via flyers and social media and a lot of word of mouth, you know, tell your friends to come along, things like that. Why I was motivated. I did think about this recently, and I think for me, I love to talk, which is always, you know, part of these conversations, but also I like the idea of being able to contribute to something bigger and being able to be one part of many to make a policy that is really actionable and does really meet the needs of young people.
So how did you contribute to the policy?
Yeah, so through the community conversations, it was basically 2 hours, a whole group of young people in a room, some questions, some pizza. We talked about, you know, our needs and what, you know, what services we would really want to use. And we talked about, you know, personal experience, but also experiences of friends and all of that. So, yeah, that's how I was involved in that process.
That's so good. And so I assumed that you must have learned so much about youth, but also yourself during during that process. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I think what came from that was, you know, I realised that everyone has such a unique health experience. You know, fortunately, I haven't had a chronic condition or anything like that, but I've had, you know, my own personal health challenges, and so have a lot of my friends. So coming together and talking about those and how we experience the healthcare sector, I think I realised that, yeah, everyone has individual different needs, but there are a lot of things we have in common and a lot of health services that we would really benefit from. And I think that's what's been perfectly sort of encapsulated in the policy and what I hope to see actionable, you know, results.
So let's talk about how the health system is going to better meet the needs for young people. Mm. What's going to happen now?
Yeah, so in the policy there's a lot of information about some really basic things that services can do to, you know, make themselves more, you know, suited to young people, things like having more flexible opening hours. You know, young people have very different timetables to other people in, you know, in our society. Also having things like Wi-Fi and, you know, being able to communicate, you know, with young people so that we feel sort of empowered. Sometimes young people are treated a bit more like small children, and that's really the opposite of what we need. You know, we want to understand our health and be treated like the young men and women we are. So basic things about becoming more aware of our understanding and our maturity and how we want to be listened to are really important.
So for the young people listening, how can they be a bit more proactive about taking positive action for their own health?
Yeah, so I think from this, I think the really great thing is that now we have a youth health policy that we can hold up in the air and wave it all around and say, look, here's some real practical ways that, you know, you can make your services, you know, more suitable for us and how, you know, get us involved. Because really at the end of the day, people who are providing services for young people want young people to use them. I'd also encourage young people to follow groups like Telethon Kids Institute on Facebook, the Consumer and Community Health Research Network. All of these places advertise a lot of opportunities to be a consumer representative or to be on a committee or, you know, have their say on a topic, and to just be brave enough to be like, this was my experience, this is what was good about it, this wasn't, you know, as great, here's how you can make it better. So yeah, I just encourage young people to really think about their experiences and find a way to communicate some, you know, constructive ways to improve it. Yeah.
And Helen, what messages would you like to share with young people listening?
So I'd like to say to young people, this is a policy for you. Do use it as Emma has suggested, and you know, access the resource on the Health Network's website. Within that resource, there are links to information that young people might find useful, and, you know, hold us to account.
Excellent. So let's talk about where can we get this information. If I want to have a look over the policy, what should I do?
Yep, so if you go to the Health Department website and look up the Child and Youth Health Network, the policy is there. Healthy WA also has the policy available there. And yeah, feel free to have a look through it. It is the Youth Health Policy 2018 to 2023, the Companion Resource, and WA's Young People Have a Say Community Conversations Report.
And if you wanted to find out a little bit more information about that, you can head on over to healthywa.wa.gov.au. Helen and Emma, thank you so much for being on Fitter Happier today with me.
No worries.
Our
thank
pleasure.
You.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.